Our friends are back. They spoke nationally for Family Life's Weekend to Remember a Marriage Getaway for 20 years. They've been, she's been a contributor to Pause for Prayer since 1998. And their ongoing segment, My Marriage Matters, happens regularly here. Welcome back, Joe and Cindy Farini.
Thank you.
Good morning.
All right. So we're going to talk about roles in marriage. At Thanksgiving, Dana Eastwood's role is to make food and Ron's is to eat it.
Yes, especially the roles.
Is that kind of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, if it works for them, I think that's perfect. Yeah,
there we go.
I like that.
Thanks a lot, guys. We've solved it. But it's more than that, obviously. So what is the, like, if you were to break it down, what's the husband's role?
Uh-oh.
Well, then let the husband start on this one.
Oh, good.
I think, you know, having a clearer understanding of our roles goes a long way towards reducing conflicts in our marriage. And I think the guiding principle that we need to have in this whole scenario when it comes to roles is to understand that when we took on that mantle of responsibility to love, honor, and cherish our spouse, part of that included putting our spouse's needs before our own needs and helping them when necessary and when needed. And that certainly plays right into the whole area of roles. And so when there's a need that needs to be done and it's something that one of you can do a better job at doing it, then step up and take care of the job. And that would be the, you know, first guiding principle I would have for this morning. Cindy, what's your thought?
Well, I certainly agree. And I think sometimes we have different definitions maybe of what our roles should be, or we have different even expectations of what they should be. So I think one of the things that Joe and I have done, and well, let me take one step back. You know, when we used to speak for Family Life, they don't have this in the manuals anymore, but they used to have in the manuals sort of a running list of social, whether it was like social norms or things that people did in the different time frame. So before the 1900s, then during the 1900s, break that down to wartime and so forth, of how the roles changed from men to women. You know, back to when they were farming, the men were out farming and the women were at home doing the household things. During wartime, many women had to go back to work because they were making wartime goods. So, you know, sometimes I think it needs to flex and go back and forth as to what is important and even necessary. So I think we kind of have for ourselves, and I think perhaps for other couples, to ask yourself the question, you know, who excels at this, who needs to do it, and who wants to do it? And from that vantage point, then begin to say, like, how will this work best in our marriage? Because as we always say, it's like learning a dance. You know, what's going to work in your marriage? And what works in our marriage may be different than what works in somebody else's marriage.
And that seems to be the key, right? That there's no template. You're not giving us a list of tasks or responsibilities each person should have in a marriage relationship. It's based on each individual marriage.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, one of the guiding principles, again, for determining our roles is, you know, greatly influenced by how we were brought up, you know, our backgrounds.
Yeah.
And I remember early on in our marriage, my Sunday routine early on was, you know, we'd come home from church, have dinner, then I sit down and watch games all day. And then, you know, what Cindy would used to do, she used to bring next to where I was sitting, a basket full of clothes. And she would just put it right next to my chair. And, you know, and I would look at the clothes and I'd look at her and I smile and watch more of the game, you know.
And be like, oh, you can sure sit next to me and fold these if you wanted, honey.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I'm leading to. Exactly right. Because, you know, eventually she'd come and she'd fold the clothes. And I'm thinking to myself, and the key word here is myself, because I never said it out loud. It's about time you got to those clothes, you know. And
right. Thanks for your honesty. I think we've all thought that. Yeah.
Yeah. And but, you know, eventually she had enough of that. And so I don't know how long it was, weeks later, months later, whatever. She just finally put the clothes down. She said, would you mind helping me around here? And I jumped out of the chair and I said, what do you want me to do? Trim bushes, cut down a tree, you know, do some concrete finishing work? I mean, what do you want me to do? And she points to the clothes and she said, you can help by folding the clothes. And I look at the basket and I said, oh, when did they get there? You know, it was one of those.
Oh, that's so good, Joe.
No, go ahead.
I mean, the reason for that, I never saw my dad full clothes.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, what do you want me to do with that?
Yeah, it's so easy to allow those norms you grow up with to become what you think is the way it, quote unquote, is supposed to be. I had a real traditional upbringing where my dad was a breadwinner and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And so I just kind of had these, this is how you do it ideas. And it caused a lot of conflict, I think, for Sarah and I early on.
Absolutely.
Sure. And I really think too, Brian, it's good to notice that and recognize that, but to also say that men and women are different. And honestly, Joe didn't see that basket. And so I needed to bring it to his attention. And then it becomes an issue of how are you going to do that? And how is that going to play out? I don't think we should be so set in our thinking that, you know, I can't trim a bush because that's what guys do versus, you know, I can't fold laundry because that's what women do. So, you know, how can we help each other? And maybe if we take a step back, you know, and this is not to be, I don't think this should be a submission issue of what we're talking about. But in Genesis 2, it talks about being a helper and it says, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And that literally means standing opposite to, like looking at each other, standing there, being helpful to each other, not opposite as in opposition. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what it really is saying is it's implying here that both genders are incomplete without each other and that we each have qualities and general characteristics that, you know, are going to help each other basically, you know, fill each other's gaps, if you will. And so helper is a good term. It's not, you know, it's not to be oppositional. And I don't even think in the case of helping that it has anything to do with submission. I think it has to do with caring, kindness, and also recognizing in your own marriage, which will be different from every friend that you have, every family member that you know, what's working for you.
Yeah.
And then also not to be too comparative that when, you know, Joe folds clothes that, you know, John Smith over there has to do the same thing. Maybe his wife would prefer to fold the clothes because she's better at it. So, you know, the question becomes, how will you be a student of your mate and a student of your marriage to figure out what that looks like for you?
I will tell you the biggest challenge Sarah and I have had over the years is how these roles shift and change every couple of years as
very
life
good.
Changes. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, you know, we're at a stage in our life now that things are much different than what they were early on. I mean, you know our son, Joey. I mean, Joey is a special needs adult. He has cerebral palsy. He's mentally challenged, epilepsy, and many other things. And throughout the years, I mean, Cindy was the primary caregiver for him. And but over the years also, she's developed some serious back problems and some hand problems and so on. I mean, being 6'4", it's tough to take care of that guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's 6'4", not me.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. And but he's a big guy. And so when we talk about taking care of all of his needs, we're talking about all of his needs of getting dressed in the morning, going to the bathroom in the morning, and so on. And but over the years, she's developed this back problem. In fact, she's going to be having a surgery coming up pretty soon.
On my hand.
Yeah, on her hand. And so I'm going to really have to step up and become, you know, the homemaker and the caretaker for Cindy. And those roles definitely have changed because of the need that we now have. But gradually over the years, I'm learning to do all those things that Joey needs to have done over the years for himself every day. But now like, the pressure is kind of full go pressure at this point.
Yeah.
To do everything.
And here's the thing, Joe is a great helper. He is willing to help. He's able to help. And so that is a key. That is key here, you know, for any of us. But in regards to this one point, you know, since I'm going to have this surgery pretty soon, I'm kind of laughing as I'm thinking of the different things because I can't do anything for at least 3 weeks with my right hand, which is my dominant hand. So we're kind of laughing, talking about like Joe's going to have to do laundry and he knows how to do all this stuff. But my point is, he's not going to get a break. He's probably not going to be like sitting watching the games like we talked about at the very beginning here. And he's going to be the one in the kitchen. And I had prepared things like meals and I prepared some different things for us to have a little bit easier time at this. But the point is, you know, when someone is out of commission, and let's face it, at one point in our marriage or another, that's going to happen to each of us, you know, whether it's the wife had the baby or the husband's, you know, out of work, or you pick a scenario and you're going to have to think about kind of switching up your roles or things that you do. And, you know, who's better at it? And Joe's good at a lot of different things, but I may be better at something. And so that's okay if I take that role. Like just as in, for instance, when I was going through college, my summer job was a bank teller. And I loved balancing at the end of the day. It would be like doing the happy dance. Yay, you know, everything was good. All the money's where it should be. And woo-woo, you know.
That sounds horrible.
When we got, well, and I'm not even a math person. That's the funny part of it. But there was I loved doing that. And so when we got married, he was happy for me to take care of the checkbook and pay the bills and do that sort of thing. But let's just also say that that was always available to him. So if he wants to see what's in the checkbook or what was spent on the credit cards, here's all the information for you. So, you know, what in your marriage works? Just because you're the man doesn't mean you have to write the checks, you know? Yeah. So I think it really helps if you excel at something and you're good at it, and then especially if you like it, then it makes it easier for the other person to not have to do something that they really hate doing.
Yeah, it's like the dance. You know, you're perfecting this dance over the years, and it takes a little stepping on toes over the years, but eventually you begin to realize how to smooth things off and make things happen without, you know, causing a hassle or anything like that. So it just takes time.
Yeah, you know, Sarah and I are still getting better at anticipating those stress points and those changes.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I mean, like when she first, you know, she stayed at home with the kids for about 13 years, went back to work part-time, and I just acted like nothing changed. And so did she for a little while. And we weren't really well communicating about it, and then it really came to a head. And then, recently, as our kids are getting older, there's been another shift, and we've had to readjust again. I want to get better at anticipating, but I'm not exactly sure how to do that yet.
I love that word.
That's a great word.
That is such a good word, because even when we first started, I said we might have different definitions and different expectations, and that's part of that anticipation. And so that's excellent. And I think the key there, in my opinion, and maybe you could add to this, Brian or Joe, but I think it's taking notice of things. You know, if you notice that your wife is getting frustrated at something, then ask her, what can I do to help? You know, if you're not paying attention and not taking notice, it's like it doesn't even matter to you.
That's
and that's
right.
That becomes a hurtful issue then.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what I've had to realize too is that Sarah and I have a capacity differential. Like she's just more capable of doing lots of things and not having it destroy her. Where I just have a lower capacity for how many things I can do, and it's just coming to that realization that's been a challenge for me.
Yeah, no question about that. Cindy's the same way.
Yeah.
She is just amazing what her capacity is, and I just look at her. I feel like I'm sitting in the stands watching her take laps around the field.
That's right, me too. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so, but God bless her, she can do it. But I mean, a recurring phrase that is heard in our home almost every single day: is there anything else I can do?
Yeah,
because again, she's seeing things that I'm just oblivious to, so she just has to tell me.
And, you know, maybe if I could add one more thing here, too. You know, we're talking about roles as in what can we do for each other, and it's more of the physical sense of getting a job done. But if we took it one step further to sort of our emotional capacity, too, I can remember this one time we were it was actually in Cleveland when we brought the Family Life Conference to Cleveland. That years ago, 30 some years ago, it was a very pressured time for me emotionally. And it was back where you had to make all the phone calls. It wasn't all automated. And, you know, so I must have talked to 500 people. We licked envelopes and stamps and mailed them out. I mean, we did a lot of work. And then in addition, my mother almost died during that time. So when we get to the conference, you know, there were three things that happened. The first two were disappointing. Like I wanted to do a certain thing and it didn't happen. The second thing I wanted to do didn't happen. And then I looked at Joe and I go, well, you know what? I'm just going to go over there and get a little drink of water. Like as if that was going to solve everything. And literally one drop came out, and I totally lost it. I just started crying, like, uncontrollably. Oh. But you look at that, you think, gee whiz, lady, it was a drop of water. You know, and I remember thinking people knew who was planning this and bringing this everything together. And then they probably think, wow, they've got marriage problems over there. So, you know, you have to also look at that capacity, because yeah. I was at the end of my capacity. Right. He wouldn't have necessarily known it to the same degree that I was feeling it. So notice that as well. I guess that's another capacity thing that.
That's a good word.
Important.
Really good word. Again, Joe and Cindy Farini have been our guests here from My Marriage Matters and formerly speakers with Weekend to Remember. If folks want more tips on marriage and perhaps more information on this, how can they find you?
Well, always on Facebook at My Marriage Matters, and also at our website, joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com. And one last thing is to say thank you to you and everybody at WCRF for your recent support of the Family Life Ministry. We so appreciate you.
Oh, Amen. Truly our pleasure. God bless you both.
Thank you. You too.
Take care.